There's no doubt that the farm-to-table movement is taking hold across the country, but the American palate is a conservative one, and most of us stick to what's familiar. Marta Lane is a Kauai-based food writer whose mission it is to educate people about the joys of really fresh food. She's the author of Tasting Kauai 2015, an insider's guide to eating well on the Garden Island, and she joins us this morning. Good morning, Marta.
Good morning, Chris.
You know, American, at least in the past, American food and the American diet was so bland that in a way people can be shocked by finding out what real food tastes like. Have you found that?
I absolutely have found that. I think tomatoes are a great example.
They sure are.
A lot of people don't like them anymore, but if you have somebody that you know that's growing them or you get them at a farmer's market, you fall in love with them.
Well, I mean, who knew they had flavor, right?
Right. Well, they've been bred and genetically modified for shipping and shelf life. So flavor doesn't really come into, you know, the picture.
A lot of grocery store food, at least back in the day, was, as you say, designed to last a long time while shipping, have good color. That's important, right?
Yeah.
But flavor somehow went by the boards. You know, a salad could be hothouse tomatoes, flavor-free tomatoes, and iceberg lettuce.
Yeah.
Which was the only kind of lettuce you could find in the grocery store up till maybe 25, 30 years ago. Right?
Yeah, true.
So when you expose people to farm-to-table fresh food full of, you know, all kinds of intense flavors they haven't experienced before, not everybody loves it right away, do they?
I've been lucky. I haven't found that to be the experience.
Uh-huh.
I also do food tours, and a lot of people are apprehensive about the exotic produce that we have here. And as soon as they try, you know, a mango or a papaya that was grown, on a small farm,
mm-hmm.
That's not modified, they just fall in love with the flavor. It's just so vivid and pronounced and alive, and they really make connections. One of the tours I do is a farmer's market tour, and they just load up on all kinds of things they've never tried before, but because they've had a little sample and I've kind of demystified, you know, what it is,
mm-hmm.
They take it home or to their vacation rental and, you know, enjoy it during their stay, which it makes me really happy instead of going to the big box store and loading up on stuff that was, you know, imported 3,000 miles away. They're actually enjoying stuff that was grown here while they're here. And I can't imagine a more intimate connection to a place than eating what, you know, was just harvested yesterday.
Sure. And you would think it would be part of any sort of visitor experience. And it's certainly growing that way, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. And I'm finding, too, that a lot of the restaurant, I'm working with a restaurant right now called Verde. It's a New Mexican. And they're really interested in bringing some local products to their menu. One of the things that they use frequently is spinach. But spinach does not grow well here.
Mm-hmm.
It can grow, but it takes a lot of work. And so we're playing around with different alternatives like moringa, or sweet potato greens, and I had a couple little sweet potatoes that I got from the farmer's market about 3 months ago, and I didn't get to them fast enough, and they sprouted, but I threw them in my garden, and Maris is the owner of Verde, Maris and I have been kind of thinking, you know, what can we do instead of spinach?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, let me try these sweet potato greens that I have growing in my garden. And my husband and I had them this morning for breakfast with some taro hash browns and scrambled eggs. And they were delicious and really affordable. They grow like crazy here. So I think that, you know, that's going to be a real viable option for her to replace spinach with the sweet potato greens. And that's just one example of how we're trying to modify the menu to what grows here. But like you were saying earlier, I believe the American how it has been, like, monocropped.
Has been what?
Monocropped.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, flatlined. There's just a certain, there's not a lot of variation in the flavors that they're willing to experiment with.
And as a result, you see that reluctance in visitors. You're exposing them to new flavors. There's that little bit of, it's a hurdle to overcome.
Yes. But I feel like they jump off the cliff on our tours because not only are they trying, you know, in a normal restaurant setting, you're there, there's not a real connection to the people. But on the tours that we do, we introduce them to the chefs. And they make a connection with how that food is grown, how it's made, the care that goes into it. And then they try it, and they're like, oh, I love it. Like, one of the things is lau lau. And everybody always says, oh, I never would have chosen that if I would have stopped here. But they're all like, this is amazing. I love it. I love taro leaves. You know, this is a really great food. So I think it's about making connections and making it fun.
Well, you're fighting the good fight, Marta, because getting people to vary their diet is just an all-around good idea. Thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Chris.
You bet.
Aloha.
Marta Lane is the author of Tasting Kauai 2015, an insider's guide to eating well on the Garden Island. She's been a Kauai-based food and farm writer since 2010, and you can learn more about it on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page. Thank you.